Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. The readings are Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, Psalm 23, and the Gospel of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Today's message is titled, Living the Faith Together in Christ. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 2, beginning at the 42nd verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Here ends the first lesson. Our psalm is the 23rd psalm, and this will be the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Gospel of our Lord. Again, the sermon is titled, Living the Faith Together in Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please come and calm our hearts during these uncertain times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and in your unfailing love you have revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures. Help our souls rest with reassurances of your sovereign hand sustaining us through these days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever watched the TV show? It's on the Dabble Channel, the new Dabble Channel, 45.2 if you're over the air. But the TV show, have you ever watched Escape to the Country? Escape to the Country is a British TV show that helps prospective buyers escape from the city and find their dream home in the countryside. These buyers are shown three properties. The first two are more towards the specifications that they're looking for based on their maximum budget, too. The third property is a mystery house that pushes the buyers to really consider what is important to their dreams. Usually, this mystery house is a home that the buyers would never have even considered viewing. What I find fascinating is the history of the properties and the history of the areas. Many of the properties are barn conversions or pig house conversions or stable conversions, granary mill conversions, all sorts of different things. Some are cottages that have been added onto over the years. Some of these homes, some of these buildings, they date back to the 13th century or older, making those homes, some of those small cottages, those homes, over 700 years old, including those with the inglenook fireplaces. I mean, fascinating. Each show opens with a tidbit of history, and I find that's interesting too. And it's a tidbit of history of the county that the buyers are planning to move to. And as each house is introduced, the town that's nearby, that local area, is also discussed. And what draws my attention is that oftentimes in that history portion or that local area portion, there is a church mentioned. And the ages of these churches, I find amazing to hear. Often that local church is in the town, and that church sometimes is built in the 13th century or the 12th century. It's been a place of worship for hundreds upon hundreds of years. A place where people have gathered to worship, gathered to hear the faith, gathered to be baptized, gathered for funerals, gathered for weddings, gathered for Easter or Christmas, for Pentecost, for worship year after year for 600 years. Can you picture that? 700 years, 800 years or more. A church, the same place the people gathered to worship. It's not the building, though. It's not the building. But the gathering of people in that place for worship for all those hundreds upon hundreds of years, which intrigues me and draws me in. And it's not the building. It's not the building. It's the people who gather to worship. We're gathering for worship this morning. We're not in the building, but we're in this place. At this morning, it's not inside, but we're still together, gathered for worship. We're coming together to hear the Word of God read from the Scriptures, to learn from the Word of God in the preaching and singing and praying of prayers, to be the people of God, gathered together in times, you know, that we really do need to gather together and hear the Scriptures speak to our lives the very Word of God. In the office here at the church, our parish records, do you know they date all the way back to the late 1800s? Yes, over to the late 1800s. And in those oldest parish records, the names are written in German. Written in German, showing the records of baptism, of marriages, of members, of funerals, and of pastors too. Showing that people have gathered for worship through the years. And it's the gathering for worship that really is a mark of the Christian faith. The Christian faith is not to be lived alone. The Christian faith is to be lived in the gathering of the believers. There really is not a place for a person to say, I believe in God, but I don't have to go to church. Have you heard that? I believe in God, but I don't have to go to church. I don't have to belong to a congregation. I don't have to be a member, everyone. There really is no place for that in the Christian faith. Those kinds of statements really belie the Christian faith. And it shows more of the person's heart than the Christian faith. Statements such as, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want anything to do with the church. those statements misrepresent the faith also. Too often, the faith is seen as individualistic. It's about me and the Lord, me, myself, and I, and it really then becomes selfish, self-focused, self-whatever. The Psalm 23 sometimes can be looked at that way too, and you can emphasize those personal pronouns through it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yes, the Lord cares for you. Yes, the Lord will restore your soul. But however much this culture wants to do about things, the universe does not revolve around you. And listen carefully, you are not the only sheep in his flock. Get that. You are not the only sheep in his flock. Jesus is the good shepherd of his flock, and his flock is the church, the people gathered in his name. Or using the words from the Apostles' Creed, the communion of saints. So how do we respond as people of the faith? Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, that portion of scriptures is a very good place to start. Turn to the scriptures and learn from them. I begin in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They, that's the new believers and all believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The words in Greek order from this verse in English are thus. They were now steadfastly continuing in the teaching of the apostles and in fellowship and the breaking of the bread and the prayers. This response of the early believers to the apostles' preaching and teaching is found in the phrase, now steadfastly continuing. This phrase is actually two words in the Greek. The first word is a conjunction word, and the next word is a verb. And it's telling us how the new believers' actions were being lived out. And this word means to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication of despite difficulty, to devote oneself to keep on, to persist in. In other words, these early believers who made up the early church, they continued to gather together to be the people, and they did it with intense effort. Despite the difficulties, they were going to be there no matter what, to persist in hearing from the apostles and learning from them, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. This is where it begins, and this is where it gains the strength, that steadfast, continuing devotion to the apostles' teaching. Remember the great risks these new believers were taking in turning to Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. Nothing would turn them aside from the apostles. Even those risks, they were devoted. They were continually and steadfast hold on to the apostles' teaching. That word teaching, the Greek word means established teaching, especially a summarized or respected teaching. In other words, it's viewed as reliable, it's time-honored. To be a believer means to believe these things that the apostles had seen and learned from Jesus. Not changing them, not dissecting them or deconstructing them to meet the times, not picking and choosing what sounds appealing to one's own ears. No, it's grabbing onto and taking hold of the faith the apostles were teaching. Another key word there is fellowship. This is essential to the faith, to your faith, to my faith, to the believer's faith. The essential is this fellowship. One is learning the content of the faith from the apostles' teachings, the apostles' preachings. Fellowship is where that content of the faith is lived out, where you love and care for your brother and your sister in Christ, where forgiveness and grace and hospitality and compassion, kindness and generosity are shown to even the most disagreeable new believer who is in Jesus Christ. Do you get that? You show all those things, love, compassion, hospitality, generosity, not to the believers you get along with easily, but to the most disagreeable of the new believers too. Because that's living the faith out. That's learning to love as Christ loves. You know, I'm troubled in my heart, and I trust you are too, when you see inside the body of believers a lack of grace, a lack of forgiveness between brothers and sisters in Christ. In the body of Christ, the fellowship of the believers, that is the very place that grace should be freely shown and given. Mercy freely extended. Forgiveness. Forgiveness freely offered and shown. It's the place you should see these most abundantly. Yet sometimes it's in the body of believers in Christ. It is most sorely lacking. But when it's there in abundance, that fellowship that in Acts chapter 2 writes about and throughout the scriptures, you see the power of God. That fellowship, the Greek word is koinonia, and its meaning, fellowship, sharing in the common communion. Christian fellowship has become the central aspect of the Christian life. It's living out the faith in Christ in loving each other, supporting each other, encouraging each other in the faith. So united in the faith for a purpose. And that purpose is the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 talks about the breaking of the bread. That is the sacrament, the holy sacrament of communion. Being together in worship, sharing the sacrament. Will you hear those words of Christ? This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Devoted to that constant reminder of what Christ has done for us on the cross. He was crucified to pay the redeeming price for us. And then in his blood, it is we find forgiveness. And then prayer. Prayer is what sustains the believers. They faced hardship. They would eventually face rejection, loss of jobs, persecution was on their way. Acts chapter 3 tells of the healing of the beggar in Jesus' name. That healing lands John and Peter in jail. The next day, the two were brought before the Sanhedrin to answer for the healing of the beggar. And I'm sure you remember the events, how Peter preached boldly, how the Sanhedrin ordered them not to speak of Jesus. But do you remember the response of the believers when Peter and John returned to them in that group, that gathered fellowship of believers where they're learning and teaching and being together? Acts chapter 4, verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And then they continued on, showing that they would not back down, no, never. For the prayer continued, Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 28 now. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This, This steadfastly continuing devotion brought about many things. It brought about signs. It brought about wonders. They abounded. It brought about generosity that overflowed. And most important, you find in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, the last portion of the verse, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." That's the bottom line. That's what it's all about. Seeing others being saved. That is the reason why the gathering of believers exists. It's why the church exists, to see others being saved. It's not about you and I. Oh, we got it good. We're comfortable. We're in the church. Fine. But what about others who aren't in the church? Others that Christ died for. That's the bottom line. Others coming to believe Jesus is the Christ. That word added in the Greek has rich meaning. Verse 47, "The Lord added to their numbers." That word "added" in the Greek is a rich meaning. And what it means is properly put together for a purpose, to gather up, to add up. And it's stressing the objective of the increasing, reaching the goal for doing it. So the Lord was adding to their numbers to increase the church, to increase the ability for the church to go out and share with more, so more will come to know Jesus is the Christ, and on and on, and it's gone, and through the years and through the generations, till it's reached us this day. But the purpose hasn't changed for adding the numbers. The Lord's action was shown through the apostles and the believers, and it was for the purpose of adding to them those who were being saved. The Lord used signs. The Lord used wonders. Awe filled the people to bring attention and to draw out the faith, so others would see, others would believe. Through what took place in the believers' lives, in the apostles' lives, how they gathered together to learn the teachings and hear the preachings, in fellowship and prayer and breaking of the bread, all of that was for others to also see and learn so they would come to believe someday. And what sets this all in motion? What keeps it in motion through the decades and the centuries since the time of the early church? Devotion. Yes, devotion. That steadfastly continuing devotion. This is the core of living the faith together in Christ. We are determined to steadfastly continue in devotion to learning the Word of God, to be in fellowship together, to break the bread together, to pray together. The Lord's action through the apostles and believers was the purpose of adding to them. And what set all of this motion and kept the energy of this motion going was the steadfast, continuing gathering together of believers. Paul and his missionary journeys, and they always went out by twos or threes or mores, and all the missionary journeys, what do? They established a new place for believers to gather. And each new place, a church would grow up in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Galatia, and on, in Rome, eventually in all the way to here in Springfield. Do you see how it comes together? And it's the devotion. It's the devotion. I'm so glad you're here today in the parking lot of Faith in Christ. We're in our cars, yet we're still the body of Christ, steadfastly continuing together to worship. We'll be outdoors through the end of May. I see the likelihood of continuing worship into the summer outdoors. Each week, possibly all the way through the summer. It will be a while before most will feel comfortable gathering together inside for worship. But what will get us through this and sustain us through this is that steadfastly continuing this devotion to gather as Faith in Christ. Yes, these days are challenging. Yes, they are. They're difficult. Our hearts, our souls, they're hurting. Others are hurting deeply too. In these times, hearts and ears may be ready. They just may be ready to hear of the good shepherd who gave his life to redeem his sheep. Will you be one who shares Jesus with one of these hurting people this week? Will you be the one to invite them to come to faith in Christ and join in the parking lot worship? How much easier to bring a new believer to Christ. You can stay in your own car. Just tune your radio to 106.1 FM. Here's the bulletin on Facebook. Here's the bulletin. You can get to it. It's so easy to do. Will you do this? Will you invite someone to come and teach them the meaning of steadfastly continuing in devotion to the teachings and learning the faith? The Lord is sovereign. The Lord still is sovereign in this moment. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He still reigns. Jesus is our good shepherd. It is written in the Scriptures, Gospel of John, chapter 10. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus, who gave his life for us, is the Lord that will see us through these challenging days and weeks and months, and Lord knows he'll see us through, because Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord, is with us. He is our Savior. He is our guide. He is our good shepherd. He will see us through. Make up your mind. Decide right now to live steadfastly continuing devotion to be the gathered people of faith in Christ here. And through that, we will see wonders. We will see the Lord adding those being saved. And you and I will be living the faith in Christ, because we're bound together in love. We're determined to be the body of Christ, no matter what. That's steadfastly devotion. And we can do it because Christ is Lord. He's our good shepherd. And He's gathered us here together, His sheep. And He's binding us together in love. Amen and amen.